Chapter 3. At Home. Ricky immediately began to run towards the trailer park. For a moment, Mark stared at Romy. Then he ran after his brother.
"Hey, Ricky, wait!" he shouted.
But Ricky didn't stop. Mark soon reached him and grabbed him by the shoulders.
"Ricky, listen, it's okay."
Ricky didn't look directly at Mark. Ricky was breathing hard and fast, and he was making strange noises. He broke away from Mark and continued running through the woods. Mark ran next to him. Finally, they were in their trailer park. They didn't stop running until they got to the trailer, which was their home. Ricky pushed open the unlocked door, lay down on the sofa in the living room, and closed his eyes. He was trembling and making strange, loud noises.
"Ricky, talk to me, okay?"
Mark said gently. But Ricky just continued to make more strange noises. It seemed like he was crying, but there were no tears. Mark went into the kitchen and looked at the clock on the wall. He couldn't believe that he and Ricky had been away for only an hour. So much had happened that it seemed as if they'd been away for days. Their mother would be home from work soon. Mark drank a glass of water, then went into the bathroom and looked at his face in the mirror. There was a large red mark under his left eye where Romy had hit him, and there was a small cut on his nose. He decided to tell his mother that he'd been in a fight at school, and to make Ricky promise never to tell what had really happened. After washing the blood off his lip, Mark went back into the kitchen and took some ice from the freezer. He held it under his eye and went back into the living room.
"Ricky, wake up," he said, touching his brother's leg. "We have to talk."
Ricky didn't open his eyes, and he continued making strange noises. Mark decided to leave Ricky alone for a short time. Mark wondered if he should call 911, the police emergency number. The narrow road above the hill was hardly ever used, and Mark knew that if he didn't make the call, Romy's body might not be found for several days. The thought of the body lying there convinced him to call. A woman answered immediately.
"There's a dead man on the narrow road near the woods," Mark said, trying to make his voice as deep as possible so that he didn't sound like an 11-year-old boy.
"May I have your name, please?" the woman asked.
"I don't want to say," Mark said. "Just send someone there, okay? There's a dead man on a car with a gun in his hand." "I must know exactly where the body is," the woman said, "and I need your name."
Mark didn't tell the woman his name, but he quickly described the location of the narrow road. Then he put down the phone, took a pen, and wrote a note to his mother to tell her that he had gone out for a walk. Then he went back to the woods, smoking a cigarette along the way. Soon after he got to the same place where he and Ricky had been earlier, two police cars and an ambulance arrived. Mark could easily see everything from his place in the bushes. Some of the police officers put the hose and things from the car in plastic bags, while others took photographs. The paramedics examined Romy's body and then put it into the ambulance. It all looked like the police dramas Mark had seen on television. When a truck arrived to take Romy's car away, Mark decided to go home. There would be nothing more to see. Suddenly, he heard footsteps behind him and felt a strong hand on his shoulder. Mark turned round and looked into the face of a cop. For a moment, he felt as if he couldn't breathe.
"What are you doing here, kid?" the cop asked.
"Just watching," Mark said.
"What's your name?" the cop asked.
"Mark Sway,"
said Mark nervously.
I'm Sergeant Hardy, the cop said. You're the kid who called 911, aren't you?
Mark looked worried but didn't reply.
So how did you find the body? Hardy asked.
My brother and I were playing here, and we just looked up and saw it,
Mark lied.
Where's your brother now? Asked Hardy.
Mark didn't understand why he was asking so many questions.
At home, Mark said.
What happened to your face? Hardy asked.
I was in a fight at school, Mark answered. Well, I have to go now. My mum's probably worrying about where I am.
Hardy put his hand on Mark's shoulder again and began to direct him up to the narrow road to where the police cars were.
Come on, I'll drive you home, he said.
You don't have to, Mark said. I can walk.
No, it's getting dark. I'll drive you, Hardy insisted.
When he and Mark arrived at the trailer, Diane Sway was home and worried about Ricky. She hadn't been able to wake him up and had called the doctor. She was now waiting for the doctor to call back.
What's wrong? What have you done?
She asked when Mark walked in the door with a cop.
Hello, ma'am, said Sergeant Hardy. I'm Sergeant Hardy of the Memphis Police. Mark will explain what's happened.
Well, Diane said, her eyes on Mark, I'm listening. Ricky and I were in the woods this afternoon, and we saw a dead man, said Mark. He was lying on the back of the car, and he had a gun in his hand.
The man killed himself, Hardy explained.
Mark called 911 and reported it. There was a suicide note in the man's wallet. His name was Jerome Clifford. According to his business card, he was a lawyer in New Orleans.
What did Ricky do when he saw the man? Diane asked Mark. Well, he ran home immediately, and I followed him, said Mark. When we got here, he just lay on the sofa, closed his eyes, and started to make strange noises. He wouldn't talk.
That's understandable, Hardy explained. Ricky saw something terrible and he's in shock.
Just then the phone rang and Diane answered it. It was the doctor. Diane described Ricky's condition and told the doctor what he had seen. As she listened to the doctor's reply, Diane's face became pale. When she put the phone down, she said,
The doctor wants us to go to St. Peter's Hospital immediately. He said that a child psychiatrist will meet us there.
Mark's knees felt weak, and he sat down. Diane suddenly looked closely at Mark.
What happened to your face? She asked. I was in a fight at school. I'm okay, Mark said.
He was uncomfortable about lying to his mother. Usually he told her the truth, except about the fact that he sometimes smoked.
I'll call an ambulance, Sergeant Hardy said. You'll have to pack some things for Ricky and for the two of you. The doctor might want you to stay with Ricky.
Mark helped his mother pack, and soon the ambulance arrived. Diane went in the ambulance with Ricky. Hardy drove Mark in the police car. He sensed that Mark wasn't telling him everything and intended to find out exactly what had happened in the woods.
Why didn't you give your name when you called 911? He asked.
I don't know, Mark said. I guess I was scared.
Well, Mark, this is what I think, Hardy said. I think you and your brother saw the guy kill himself.
Mark stared at the ambulance ahead of them and told himself to stay calm.
No, that's not true, he insisted. We were just playing in the woods and suddenly we saw Romy on the car.
Romy?
Hardy asked very slowly. Mark was upset with himself. He knew that he had just said the wrong thing, and he quickly tried to think of a good explanation for it.
"That's what you said the guy's name was," Mark said.
"No, I said that his name was Jerome Clifford," Hardy said, again very slowly.
"I guess I didn't hear it right," Mark said, looking out of the window.
Hardy turned a corner, and Mark was relieved to see the hospital right in front of them. Hardy parked the car, and they met Ricky and Diane in the emergency room.